America weekend.
Everything we touch turns to dust, goes into an ashen pit.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge, along with
Christina Stoffo.
Our next guest is known as Brooklyn's nouveau soul singer-songwriter. Well, she's turning heads and ears outside of Brooklyn as well. It is a pleasure to say hello to Candace Anitra. Candace, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is quite an honor for us to have you on. You are quite a combination of sounds and of styles. Now, I spent last night listening to a ton of your music. I hear soul, I hear pop, I hear funk, I hear rock. How are you able to combine so many different styles into one singular voice?
I think I have always been just a little bit outside of the box. I've always been a little bit left of everyone else. And as I've matured, I've come to own it. And it comes from a background, I come from a background of singers that never really got to do their singing. And maybe it's just all coming out of me.
So you come from a family of singers. Tell us a little about the background in your family. How did music shape you? How did music get you to where you are now?
I find music incredibly healing, and my father is a singer, my grandmother is a singer, her mother was a singer, great uncles. It's in my blood to be creative, and I've been an artist, like I say, since I was an embryo. I've always wanted to be an artist. I never wanted to be anything else. And for me, music is a great synthesis of a lot of my talents. I'm an actress, I'm a writer, and I love the arts. They're extremely healing to me. So when I am creating a song, I'm really focusing on the story, on being a storyteller, on conveying the emotion through the sounds, through the consonants, through the vowels, and really honoring that moment. So that's what I focus on, and it comes out in a totally Candace way. I have some amazing parents, and I was exposed very early. They, you know, were playing Nancy Wilson records. Sam Cooke was someone that was played in my house. Bill Withers. It was very much about dancing through life. My family may not have always had money, but we had a lightness of being and really a family legacy of helping that to keep you grounded, using humor, to really dive deep and deal with things that maybe are not always so funny. So it has all helped shape me. And my father is a writer. That was certainly a big influence as well.
Sure, sure. Your music really seems to bring a message with it. I mean, there's a tone, there's a feeling. Your EP, Narcissist Echo. Tell us about that.
Well, Narcissist Echo is really, for me, about reflection. I think we are at a unique moment in human evolution where we know some things about some things, and also there are some paradigms that are crumbling, as they should. They are archaic. We need to really focus on not putting others below us, not putting the environment below us, really honoring and showing reverence for where we come from and for where we can go. We need to build some new ways of being. And so when I'm writing, that I'm honoring that. I'm honoring, yes, we are love. We are all love. We're all energy. We're all connected. But we also need to take responsibility for the baggage we bring into situations. And instead of putting it on other people, own it. Really look at those dark shadow parts of ourselves instead of just perpetuating cycles that don't serve us.
You know, it's interesting because music has always been sort of a social conscience of us as a people, as a society, and there's always been the roots of change within music itself. And I think that's really, really important because for you as an artist, that has to be so empowering to be able to have a voice like that and to be able to illustrate that voice through your music.
Feels like an honor. I really believe that being an artist is a spiritual job. So as long as I'm focusing on that and really being focused on telling the story, not just, you know, the music needs to sound great, of course, and I have amazing players and amazing producers, but the seed is always real life. It's, you know, Prop 8, it's flags coming down. It's, you know, that stuff moves me, and I have to write. I have to. It's how I process. It's very healing for me.
Who are some of your musical influences?
I love Bill Withers. For lots of reasons, like he's an amazing soul singer, he's an amazing writer, he is a storyteller. Every syllable, every sound has a weight and a meaning. And I truly believe that sound is healing to all of us, not just to me while I'm singing, but to people that are hearing it. And I want to hold this up. I want to lift the vibration of the planet. So Bill Withers is like he's my number one. Oh,
isn't it amazing when you listen to Lean On Me? I mean, even this, many years later, he is such a storyteller when he sings.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love Sam Cooke. There are a lot of people that I listened to in college that I feel like are really fundamental. And they're Bill Withers, Sam Cooke, Ella Fitzgerald. I studied them. I listened to them over and over. I'm not a jazz singer necessarily or a straight up soul singer, but these people influence my style, my lightness, just the way that I'm carrying myself and the way that I'm, again, telling the story.
So if you had to pick one person, dead or alive, like who would be your dream collaboration?
Oh my gosh. If I could work with Bill Withers, I would. I mean, I know he's very much alive. That would be amazing.
You know, this show is starting to get quite a reach. Who knows? Maybe a couple of phone calls here, properly placed email there, and maybe could make this happen. Look at it this way. If Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga can get together, anything
can
happen in this world.
He has a point.
That is true. It's really true.
We talk about music setting itself apart. There's so much media. There's so much music out there now. What does it take? What do you feel music takes to stand out today from the rest? What does it need to do?
It has to have soul. And I don't just mean the instrumentation. I mean it needs to come from and be stirred by a really authentic place. Even in pop music, the refrains that are repeated, the things we can all really relate to. When people share something that feels truthful, everyone's like, oh my gosh, yes, I felt that way. Mm. I felt that pissed. I felt that left out, or, you know, I felt that alone. And you see yourself reflected in it. So the more artists are able to be in alignment with their truth, it's just magic. That's alchemy.
Have you experienced that live on stage, like when you're performing a song and then all of a sudden you're like looking out and the audience is singing along with you? Like, what's that like? That experience has to be so amazing.
Best feeling. I feel tremendously honored. I do feel like my ancestors are with me. Like my great grandmom, she is with me. I just can imagine her grinning and smiling at me. I do feel very moved to my soul every time I'm looking out and seeing smiles or talking to people on social media. I feel very, very held. I feel so blessed.
When I looked at your website last night, it's a very interesting read to talk about the reasoning and the ideas behind some of your work. Now, the one thing that really jumped out at me, it says, and these are quotes, you hate boxes and the corrugated musical categories. That says so much because, again, like you talked before about thinking out of the box with music, music has gotten so, I don't know, formulated, regulated. It's nice to have someone that's got the, for lack of a better term, chutzpah, that is willing to sing about things that matter to her.
Yeah.
Because it makes for a better song, because it allows you to sell that song and emote that song so much better and so much more powerfully than you would if it's just, you know, some other lines that someone gave to you, if it's not what you really feel inside.
It's true. It is very important to me to, as I say, mine the depths. So the things that I'm writing about, gender or being over-sexualized, you know, as a 12-year-old, like, this is real. This is my real life. But when I'm walking on the street, these are the experiences that I'm having, and this is how I choose to process them publicly, because I know as an artist and I know as someone that enjoys music that it makes all the difference to be dynamic, to share all of the story and not just the surface part. There needs to be depth for me to really convey what I want to convey. I want you to be stirred.
I'm a huge believer in lyrics need to have meaning. So I'm totally with you on that. I love when I can listen to a song and I'm listening to the lyrics and I'm like, wow, I think that she wrote this song about me.
That's magic.
It is magic.
It's magic.
And you're right, it is very healing. And I feel like in any situation, if you're sad, if you're happy, you put on a CD and it uplifts you or just like kind of gets you through that bad time in life.
It's true. It's because it's, you know, art is a mirror. And when you can see yourself, you feel less alone. You feel connected to all of everything. And I do believe that a big part of my mission is to really dismantle this myth of separation, like that I'm in my own world and no one has ever felt this way. you know, it is true that you are unique. You're your own unique song of the universe, you know, as they would say, but we are in this together.
Yeah.
We are in this together. This is our boat that is sinking.
I'm with you, girl. It's our
those
boat.
Those people over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the most important thing beyond anything else is that if we can arrange this dream collaboration between you and Bill Withers, we want front row seats the first time you guys perform
it.
Together.
I think that's a great idea. Ed, listen, Ed has pull.
We've been able to get certain people on this show we never
that.
Thought we would get on this show.
That's true.
We'll see what we can do. Well, once again, do yourself a huge favor. Check out Candace's work on YouTube, as well as her website, CandaceAnitra.com. She is incredibly talented. Candace, continued best of luck, and thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
An incredible honor. Thank you both so much. You are lovely.
Thank you, Candace.
Stay with us. I'm Ed Kalegi.
And I'm Christina Stoffel.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Who is this?
I'm Scott from the Baker Drivetrain with our new compensator sprocket kit for 07 and later models. Replace the factory cruise drive compensator kit.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Will this compensator actually last?
Compensator kit. Built to last, it's got a patented oil grooving design in the back that force feeds the oil into the lobes and designed to last. It's a lubrication issue that causes the failure on those. And Harley has come out with four different versions of that so far. They failed on every one, so finally we've got enough requests for it. We decided to make one. We've been in development for about a year now, taking orders on them now. They retail at $399, comparable to the Harley setup.
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Think green. Harrison with you. With President Obama's recent visit to Russia regarding nuclear stockpiles, it's interesting to note where things stand nowadays. New warhead production stopped in 1992, but modified warheads continue to be introduced. So far, the United States has produced an estimated 66,000 nuclear bombs and warheads of 100 styles and types since 1945. The Air Force has adopted 52 different types of active nuclear weapons, the Navy 35 types, the Army 26 types, and the Marines 15. Historically, after thermonuclear bombs entered our stockpile in 1954, the sheer megatonnage reached the equivalent of 1,360,000 Hiroshima-sized bombs, and that was only by 1960. Today, happily, it's only half that. From the Greeniverse.
Think green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.